This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the Best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Fan, it's Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show here, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. All right, we've got a little resolution here in the Matthew Stafford situation. Would you like me to tell you what it is? Stafford is going to stay with the Rams. Wow, staying with the Rams. Schefter just put this out there. Was it a tweet? Huff, it was, right? He tweeted this out. So I thought we'd get quick resolution. I really thought, based on one reporting, that the Raiders seemed to be ahead of the Giants and that the Giants were so much viewed as the underdog. That was the word used. I did not think this would bleed into the weekend very deeply, but I am still a little surprised he's staying with the Rams. I can't lie to you. All right, so now that that's done, all right, let's move on from Stafford. Next topic. Think about this the way it goes, right? What, do we spend 3 days on Stafford? Really, I mean, I even floated a month or so ago. Oh, thanks for the content, Matthew. Appreciate you, buddy. No, but there is still there's some residual impact now for the locals. All right, let me explore this very quickly. So, if the Raiders would have gotten Stafford, it would have made life easier for the Giants and the Jets. To what degree, I don't know. But the Raiders at 6, the Jets at 7, the Giants at 3. Now, obviously, the Giants have a leg up on drafting a quarterback unless the Raiders are able to swing a trade with the Titans or the Browns, and the Giants either can't match or elect not to, whatever. You know, the Giants should be able to draft the quarterback that they want if they still want to go that route. But the fact that they were so in on Stafford to the point where they had, you know, already communicated to him that they would give him $100 million guaranteed over 2 years tells me, I think the pivot is going to still be to a veteran now if they seem that married to a veteran in Stafford. Now, Stafford's better than Darnold, and Stafford's better than Fields, and Stafford's better than Cousins, and maybe they look at that drop in talent as enough motivation, enough reason to go and get a Sanders or maybe a Cam Ward. But, yeah, I actually think that this impacts the Jets, certainly more than the Giants. But got to keep it more to the Giants because Stafford was not rumored to go to the Jets. So he will stay with the Rams. Giants will have to, you know, whatever their plan B is going to be. I'm sure they've at least had a loose one ready. Now they got to tighten that up and see what happens. And now you got to hope from a Jets perspective that if you're eyeing the same person in the draft, if you're even inclined to take a quarterback at 7, and now we'll see what the Raiders do. Do they go to a Fields or a Darnold? I don't know. Or Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, maybe. Hey, maybe the Giants should go for Rodgers now. Why not? Throw him on the, that'll give us some good content, huh? The Jets at 7 could be in a dogfight with the Raiders for one of those young kids. All right, back to you. That just broke.
Happy Giants quarterback question day.
Well, I mean, we talked about this yesterday briefly. I mean, I kind of suspected this from the very beginning with Matt Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
But we just got used, man. We got used.
Feels like it.
The Raiders got used. Matt Stafford obviously wanted to stay with the Rams. And I think Sean McVay told us as much a couple of days ago when he spoke to the media and was very, or spoke on a podcast and was very honest about the dealings. And, you know, early this afternoon, we got the note that he basically is going to stay with the Rams.
Yes.
So it's almost like, yeah, we feel used. The Raiders feel used. But that's neither here nor there. We kind of could have suspected that. It now turns to what do the Giants do next?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the process going forward as they try to evaluate who's going to be their quarterback next season? And I think there are a ton of options on the table. I think they're going to look at every free agent. They're going to investigate, obviously, as they have been, the quarterbacks that are coming out in the draft. And obviously, I'm talking about the top two. But I think it's also the Jackson Darts,
right,
and the Jalen Milroes of the world, et cetera, Quinn Ewers, that are also coming out, and they may be able to get later. But the Aaron Rodgers topic was inevitable. Aaron Rodgers sticking it to the Jets by going to the Giants was inevitable. And now here we are, according to Diana Rossini and Schefter and all these others that are reporting that Aaron is reaching out, or his agent is, to a lot of teams trying to gauge interest, which tells you he wants to play.
Definitely. And Evan had predicted retirement. So just if you're just starting your car, maybe you're out going for a walk, popping us on free on the Odyssey app, a little timeline of events on what has happened over the last hour. Matt Stafford and the Rams have agreed to a reworked, restructured contract. He is not, forget being a Giant, he's not going to be a Raider either. He is staying put with the Los Angeles Rams, which for the Rams, look, they were the closest to beating the Eagles in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
Out of any of those teams, that makes a lot of sense for them. Meaning the Giants now need to shift their attention, okay? And as it stands right now, the Giants are picking third overall. No guarantee of Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, more on that later. But in the aftermath and the immediacy, the reports coming out are that the Giants and Aaron Rodgers, the ex-Jet quarterback, have been in conversation, according to Schefter, multiple phone calls back and forth between the Giants and Rodgers reps, and apparently a lot of buzz in that in Indy. So, Tiki, okay, before we just break this off, I just want to remind everybody, before they go crazy on the phones, okay, before we light up the phones at 888-808-1019, I'm generally pumped up to talk about this. Remember before you lose
four more years,
bleeping minds, we know this fact. Undeniable fact.
Go ahead.
The New York Giants are adding a veteran quarterback.
100%. They told us that already.
We also know fact number two. The only quarterback they basically have on the roster is Tommy DeVito.
And he doesn't have the offer yet.
Right.
But Joe Shane essentially told us that he was going to be qualified offer, or whatever the heck they call it in the NFL, because he's a restricted rights, exclusive rights free agent.
And when we started the week on Tuesday, Joe Shane met the media at the Combine and did again mention the idea of both a rookie being on this team and a veteran being on this team. So I line that all up to say, before you call, and call now at 888-808-1019 and scream and yell yeses or noes on Rodgers, they are adding a veteran. So the question needs to be asked, are you excited if it's Aaron Rodgers? Are you excited?
I mean, how can you not be excited if it's Aaron Rodgers? Because at the end of last season, really from the middle to the end of last season with the Jets, you started to see him playing better, right? I know he still had those bad mechanic throws where he's just taking one step and sidearming it 35 yards downfield on the back shoulder. And those frustrate you as a Jet fan or as a just a football fan. You're like, dude, that's not efficient. And when it's incomplete, it drives you insane.
Right.
But after a while, he started completing those. And it started to look like Aaron Rodgers from his Green Bay Packer days. And so another year removed from that Achilles injury, healthier, even though he's older, it is exciting to think about it. Now, yeah. The question then becomes, how much does he have left, mm-hmm. and will this work with what the Giants have in-house right now?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the talent level, meaning Malik Nabers, Wandell Robinson, Theo Johnson, et cetera, mm-hmm. Tyrone Tracy, but also the coaches, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the reaction or the interaction between a very strong-minded Brian Daboll, head coach, former coach of the year, and the ego Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers? Like, it feels like a butting of the heads potentially, but on the other side of that same coin, I would say Dabes is like the ultimate competitor,
right?
He's been in it, he's seen it in so many. He's been coaching forever. College, NFL, won a national championship down in Alabama with the New England Patriots as well, Super Bowl, etc. Like, he's been around a lot, and he knows what it takes to win, but he also knows the kind of dudes that you need to win. And yeah. I would bet that the competitiveness of Dabes with the, whatever you want to call whatever it is Aaron Rodgers has, might actually be very cohesive.
Oh, baby.
If it's not combative, I think it'd be cohesive.
This is what's so wild. So I know what anybody listening right now is going to say. Sean, you walking hypocrite. You made fun of the Jets for 2 years for getting Aaron Rodgers old and washed. And my answer to that would be, you are correct. However, as I've pointed out, even if Evan hasn't wanted to hear it, it was the idea of when the Jets got Aaron Rodgers, it went from, we are in this long playoff drought to,
well, of course we could compete with the Chiefs. We're going to go in the AFC. There's three teams that can win the Super Bowl, and now we're one of them.
Right, when Aaron Rodgers was aging and all of that. And by the way, he's 2 years older and obviously now going to be a second year removed from the Achilles. This is a different scenario and a different time. I don't think there's a Giant fan right now, unless you're out there and you guys could call us again, 888-808-1019, that looks at adding Aaron Rodgers and goes, yes, the Giants are going to go win 12 games. We're going to compete with the Eagles. It's not about that. This team needs to stabilize the organization. They are about to play. How many of you have pointed out how difficult the schedule is going to be?
Right.
The Aaron Rodgers being able to mentally have that chess match, which he still had, I think is going to be really important in a lot of these games. And look, in the end, we know they're signing a veteran, right? So if they have to sign a guy, I would rather Aaron Rodgers than Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
I mean, trading for Derek Carr, even Kirk Cousins, it doesn't mean it's a great situation.
No.
And the other thing, man.
They're not going to trade for one of those guys.
Right.
Eliminate them right now. That's not happening.
And the other thing signing Aaron Rodgers does is it allows you, if you're Joe Shane, to breathe for a little second, and go, do I really want to trade a mortgage of picks to go up to one or two to make sure I get Sanders Award? Or does signing Aaron Rodgers buy me a little time to go, all right, maybe we've done enough scouting and I still want Sanders Award, but they fall to me at three and I've given up nothing. I have a quarterback and this quarterback doesn't need to be rushed to play right away, and we'll see how the season plays out.
Yep.
Or, okay, those two guys go 1-2. All right, now we're taking Travis Hunter. Now we're taking Abdul Carter. We're going to run, and next year we will reevaluate the quarterback position.
Or you have a very early second round pick.
Yep.
And you have a couple of extra late round picks. I forget. I looked at
it the other day. They get an extra fourth in the comp pick formula.
And then they have another extra seventh as well, I believe.
That sounds right.
I can't remember what it is now, but whatever it is, you take your latter picks and move from that number two pick in the second round and hop back into the first round and take Jackson Dart if you have to. Right?
Yeah.
There are ways to look at this in a best interest for the Giants, short and long term, when you consider the Aaron Rodgers proposition. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, we don't want Aaron. We don't want the circus. Look, that's what the Giants have to investigate. That's what they have to figure out. I don't think anybody over there has worked with, maybe Dabes knows them because Dabes knows everybody.
Right.
Maybe Dabes knows Aaron Rodgers a little bit. But like the idea of the distraction that he brings is what a lot of people are going to push back on.
Right.
But in some ways, and I'm biased here because I know Dabes and I've had some conversations with him, but I feel like he mitigates it better than what the Jets did.
Oh, for sure. He's more of a head coach that I think level-headedness, or at least like he just won't be walked all over.
Yeah.
And that's not, I feel like that's a slight on Robert Saleh. It's not meant to be, but Robert Saleh told us, I'll never forget this quote, the best teams coach themselves. Brian Daboll believes in the actual coaching part of this. And you know what? Everybody's going to use the word desperation, and I can't fight that, but I'll raise you desperation with this word, motivation.
Well, and Brian, you have to do something, Sean.
Yes.
You can't not do anything and just say, hey, we get who we get. We take the best available. Like the Giants can't do that. They have to investigate all options right now. And I'm talking about the guys at the top, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, who they may or may not like. I don't know the answer. Versus the guys you can get later, the Jackson Darts, Jalen Milroe. So the rookies you investigate. And then you're also, you know, they're bringing in a free agent. So you're weighing all of this against the free agent. So there's Aaron Rodgers. There's also Russell Wilson. There's also Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. There's Jacoby Brissett. Right? There's tons of other options in free agency. I don't think any of them give you the one buzz, but also the ability to win right now, like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I want to feel what pure love feels like.
Mentally, it goes into it. And we'll see. And also the other thing, we see this contract being reworked. Financially, Rodgers is not going to cost you as much as Matt Stafford was going to cost you. Very and you're true. Not giving up draft capital. That right? What were the anti-Stafford arguments?
Right.
You're really going to pay a guy $55 million? You're really going to trade for him? Well, you're not doing either of those things and getting Aaron Rodgers. So I know it sounds crazy, and I know that the Jet fan was mocked for this for the last 2 years, but I do think this is an entirely different circumstance, scenario, and expectation. And by the way, speaking of the Jets, you think Aaron Rodgers isn't motivated? You think he didn't feel a little bit of, wait, you don't want, you're the New York Jets and you don't want me?
Yeah.
You might really get a highly motivated, in this own town, Aaron Rodgers to go, look why you should have kept me.
And so,
The night is darkest before the dawn.
And by the way, what you're saying is why this becomes a lot more financially easier for the Giants, because he's going to get cut, right? First time in his career, he said he's getting cut. Now, I don't know if they've determined yet whether it's immediate cut or, you know, start of league year or the June 1st cut. And if it's June 1st cut, I think it's really just punitive to the Jets because they can't, they don't clear that money until after June 1.
Right, but the Giants can agree to their framework.
Exactly, the Giants, it shouldn't affect them. And I'm sure the deal will be very creative, as it has to be, a little incentive laden, but it's an interesting now option, especially with Matt Stafford off the table. And look, the reporting on this has been, you know, very, I think, quiet, the Matt Stafford stuff, but you know, the Giants were in on it probably deeply, you know, the Raiders were in on it probably deeply. And those are the two most disappointed teams that he decided to go back to the Rams. But you can't feel sorry for yourself.
No.
You can't sit here and say, oh, we got used and let's cry.
No.
You got to pivot.
Got to pivot.
And the easiest one, or the one that's getting talked about most, is Aaron Rodgers, because it feels like Aaron Rodgers is very motivated to be a player next year in the NFL.
This has me all sorts of fired up. So before we get to your calls at 888-808-1019, I have to go to the desk of both former Jets season ticket holder Connor Green and, more importantly, positive Tommy right now as a Giants fan. Tommy? Before overthinking it, Aaron Rodgers is a Giant quarterback. Where do you stand?
I'm glad you used the word overthinking, because I am overthinking. Let me just start with this. The Giants are desperate to win. I think the ownership, front office, head coach are desperate to win. You bring Daboll and Shane back, so Aaron Rodgers or Stafford makes all the sense in the world based on where they're at. You mentioned the word circus. I would argue you win one home game, you have planes flying outside MetLife Stadium. You kind of already are a circus. I think they're coming off the worst year in franchise history. They basically were a mockery, starting with Hard Knocks with Saquon. So I think you don't want to use the word desperate. I'm going to use it. They are absolutely desperate to win. And I think Aaron Rodgers is 100% motivated to stick it to Woody Johnson, who I believe is the reason why Rodgers is not with the Jets. He is motivated to stick it to the Jets. I'm excited. There is some rat poison here.
Of course there is.
And Aaron Rodgers and friends scares me, because I'm worried about the growth of Malik Nabers if we bring in Adams, etc.
Put a pin in that. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
Put a pin in it. Aaron Rodgers and either Hunter or Carter at three, the Giants are now in the conversation again. They are in the conversation to make the playoffs. They are in the conversation to make a run. And as a Giant fan that's had to watch horrible football now for basically a decade, I am excited. Connor Green.
I'm not sure if I will be able to handle this mentally, because you know what's going to wind up happening here
Just come to the dark side, Connor.
You know...
Or the bright side, I should say.
The best way for this Aaron Rodgers saga to end is he leaves the Jets, goes to the Giants, wins the Super Bowl, while the Jets have Kirk Cousins, they win three games, and it's another 10 years of missing the playoffs. You know that is what's going to happen. That's the perfect end to this saga. And honestly, I just don't know if mentally I can handle it.
Connor's my favorite.
He's the best.
The woe is me Jet fan.
It's a perfect character that we now have introduced to the show.
I'll say this. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Giants, when the script writers handed me this script, even I didn't believe it.
No.
Like, who saw this coming?
We joked about this.
We joked about it.
3 weeks
ago. We joked about it because we said, why would Rodgers come here? Forget 3 weeks ago. When Aaron Rodgers came out of the darkness to, and I'm using air quotes, lead the Jets to the Super Bowl, he gets hurt the first year, wins whatever, five games last year, and now he's the Giants quarterback.
I hated the guy. He was a jerk to me in Arizona. I couldn't believe it the time I met him. Now I'm like, yeah, bring him in.
This is
what a fraud I am.
This is reality TV at its best.
Yeah. So good. So Aaron Rodgers, look, it's not done, but clearly the Giants were very aggressive on Stafford, and this is being talked about. I love today. 888
Devontae Adams, Malik Nabers. He might throw 70 touchdowns next year.
Oh, man. Give me Randall Cobb. Mason Crosby. Put on Tiki's 21. Come kick again. Let's go. Maybe Clay Matthews will play next to Micah McFadden. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Your calls. Rodgers, Giants rumors. Let's get it rolling. Evan and Tiki on a fun football Friday on The Fan.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Supersonic is a word when people stop to listen.
There you go, Hoffy. Supersonic. BT and Sal, 1046 on the fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Sal is off this week. 888-808-1019. Time is a moving. It's nice out there today. 50 degrees, 55 tomorrow. Before you know it, guys, Selection Sunday, Yanks and Mets heating up, you know, and we'll get into the final throes of spring training, and we'll be off and running. Right now, we're obviously talking football. So many possibilities, so many issues, potential stumbling blocks as well for the Jets and the Giants if they don't handle this well. All right, let me get to some of the stuff Joe Shane just said. He said a lot, and then we'll get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. First up, he is out at the Combine, Indianapolis, and he was asked about just the overall general need. Let me give you this first. I'm sorry. The need for a veteran presence in the building at quarterback.
Yeah, and where we are, Tommy DeVito is our only quarterback on the roster, so you may evaluate both of those. Those both may be options. So, again, we don't know what's going to happen in the draft. We don't know who's going to be there. When we get around these kids, they may or may not be a fit for us. So, we're going to have to address the position somewhere. And even if you get a young quarterback, you'd like to have a vet, in the room with them to show them the ropes and how to be a pro. So, we're looking at all different avenues. It's, hey, is this guy going to be really good for a young quarterback, or is this guy a starter? Or can we get a guy in the draft? Or if we do, should we have a guy that's more of a, a guy that can develop and show a guy how to be a pro? So, we're going to look at, vets, we're going to look at the draft, we're going to look at trade candidates, we're going to look at under every rock to, find the best prospect for us going into the 25 season.
All right, and by the way, is there anything from a football, like executive position, is there anything more unsettling than your job hanging by a string and you have no quarterback? Just think about what these guys are trying to do. Number two, speaking of quarterbacks, the need to draft one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've said it to you guys before. I think it's the most important position in football. And, we have one on our roster right now. And I think that's important wherever we address it, that the play has to be better than what it's been. And, because of injuries, we played four quarterbacks this year. We played three last year. So, it'd be nice to have one guy out there that can, help you, give you the best chance to win games and also stay healthy. So, that is an important position. And we need better play out of that position than what we've had. And that'll help us.
Okay, so that's the quarterback spot. What about just the overall backdrop of starting to win basically three games, three wins, not going to cut it anymore?
Yeah, we've got to be better. We've got to be better. We're a three-win team. So where we are financially, from a salary cap health standpoint, we're in good shape. We have premium draft capital, so not suffocating. We have the resources to improve the roster. And, we made some decisions after that first year when we won, and, they didn't work out. So, again, we're where we are, and again, I feel like we have the resources to improve the roster, and that's what's exciting about this time of year.
All right, that's what they're trying to do here. How about, if not the quarterback, what else are you guys open to at number three in the draft?
No, we're open to everything. Move up, move back. It's an exciting time for year. We're starting to put that together now, put the puzzle together. So, we're going to look at all options to, improve the roster going into 2025.
Okay, and the final one, guys, a little more specific on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into, comparing the guys. We've done a lot of work on those two. I know a lot of people are talking about those two, but there's other quarterbacks, throughout the draft, and excited to get around those guys as well.
All right, I know that he was also asked specifically about Stafford, didn't say a whole lot. Can you say what?
He nothing, just basically right? punted. He said, got to ask the Rams about that.
Yeah, it's up to the Rams if they don't trade him. He's not wrong, so I didn't think it was worth playing. Just wanted to make sure we had that. All right, good job on that Hoff getting the sound. BT and Sal. All the fans get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Let's bounce out to Bayonne. John, what's going on?
BT, you just hit the nail on the head with Stafford. The Rams would love to keep him, but he wants $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how last year when they took Mayfield, they wanted to re-sign him, but they couldn't. And look what he's doing. He's lighting it up. So I think either the Jets or the Giants, but mostly the Jets, should make a deal with the Rams and the Jaguars, and we get Trevor Lawrence, they get Matt Stafford, they get Jacksonville's pick in the first round, and we go from there. I mean, as far as anything, it helps the Rams big time because we'll go with Jimmy or Trevor, and then we get rid of Stafford, and he goes to the Giants, and he's still got it in him.
Mm-hmm.
He still got it in him.
He could definitely still play. There's no Matthew Stafford could still play. The one thing that I don't get, John, thanks for the call. And, you know, you don't really get a lot of this pushback in the NBA. Maybe we're just so, I don't know, conditioned to accept some of these bloated salaries in the other sports. But can somebody, and I'm not saying John just did this, but some of you have, can you explain to me why we can't pay Matthew Stafford $50 million? There's no way we could do that. Why not? Look at some of the NBA salaries for next year. You've got, and now some of them certainly deserve them, or deserve what they're making. Damian Lillard, I mean, much respect for Dame. He's an all-time boulder, but, you know, he's just not the same guy. Damian Lillard's going to make $60 million next season. 60! How about even Kevin Durant, who's still, you know, still a big scorer, but he's not quite what he was. $55 million. Bradley Beal, yeah, that worked out well. He's on the books for $53 million next year. I mean, I know we all love Karl Anthony Towns' offense, but you know, what about some of the other stuff? Cat's on the books for $53 million. Kawhi Leonard's making 50 as well. Would you rather have Kawhi Leonard or Matthew Stafford relative to the specific sport? I don't know why people push back so much on quarterback salaries. And it's not just because there's a salary cap in football, there's a salary cap in basketball. I don't get it. That always confounds me. Steve's in Crown Heights. What's happening, Stevie?
Hey, great show, BT Sal. So, you know, I don't think the Jets, well, they're hoping that Sanders is gone. I think they hope, for them, they hope that the Giants take Sanders at 3, assuming that Tennessee takes Cameron at 1. They don't want this circus, quote-unquote circus. Yeah. They don't want Aaron Rodgers, you know, Aaron Glenn didn't want Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. He certainly doesn't want the Sanders.
What, the shadow of Dion? Circus.
Yeah.
Well, all right, well, Steve, let's talk about this a little bit here. So, now, first of all, then don't draft him. I mean, that's the simple response to that. If he drops.
Well, I want them to move down. I want him to move. I want the Jets to move down 4 or 5 picks, and I love Tyler Warren.
Well, I want to stay on one thing. Yeah. So, if, because your main point was if Sanders falls to 7, what do the Jets do? Well, I would not take him at Sanders myself, but I promise you somebody else would. So that wouldn't be a bad issue. That's a position of power. That's a position of leverage. The Saints at 9, you want Sanders? Yeah, that's right. Come get him. All right, we'll take this, we'll take that, we'll take this. That's fine. You could have him, but you're giving us something for him. And listen, the one thing, and I don't know how this is going to play out, and I've gotten this already a few times today, and it's not the first time it's come up. Like, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be an issue at all, but what is the true fear about Dion? Is it like Dion getting on social media after a game? Oh, what a horrendous, you know, play call by Dable on 4th and 1 with my son Shador. Hey, come on. Like, what do you think that Dion's going to do? You might not like Dion's, whether it's flash or arrogance for some of you, whatever it might be. I think Dion is old school and disciplined enough for sure to lay out. Now, the one thing you might get, here's one thing you could get. And, okay, this could be a huge distraction. Let's say the Jets, it wouldn't be the Jets because they just hired Glenn, but let's say the Giants get Sanders, Shador, and it's not going well. And now, midseason, he looks overwhelmed, right? Invariably, the first story is going to pop up because if Shador is on the Giants and Shador looks overwhelmed, then that means the Giants are awful again, and that means Dable is gone. So maybe, without question. So at that point, do you just get an influx of articles? Well, maybe Dion should coach the Giants. He's the one to unlock his son. You probably would see some of that, quite frankly. I'm not saying I hired Dion to coach the Giants, but I do think the Giants are big boys enough to deal with any noise that I don't even think that Dion would necessarily bring. if things aren't going great for his son? I don't know. I mean, maybe he tells somebody and they plant it and, you know, maybe you get different ways to get different thoughts from Deion without being directly attributed to Deion himself. But it's social media, man. If somebody's got a gripe, it's getting out there. Whether it's Deion or Garrett Wilson or Sauce or Malik Nabers, you name it. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, I want to roll with this a little bit more, get some baseball stuff on the table as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But obviously, football has been top of mind on this station, top of mind on the New York sports fans' minds, and we've done a lot on Matt Stafford. We've done a lot on Aaron Rodgers. But I think we tend to forget, as Combine Week and the rumor mill is swirling, Tiki, you know, the Giants have other positions to fill. The Jets may not take a quarterback. They have positions to fill. Both teams at the top of the draft, and we're starting to get to learn a little bit more about the other non-quarterback prospects so far here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, no, and the biggest one, I think we haven't talked about this guy in a long time, but Travis Hunter is probably, next to Abdul Carter, you could argue with, the best athlete, the best prospect, the almost can't miss prospect in this draft. Because he's so athletic, he's so dynamic, he can do it on both sides of the ball. I don't think a lot of people saw Colorado play this year, unless you specifically went out of your way to watch one of those games because it's so West Coast. Yeah. But
or you're a degenerate like me, Lugauer.
Exactly, you gamble and you can't help yourself. But like he had 1,400 yards receiving this year, and he was one of the top three or four cornerbacks in college football. So the idea that he could do both is real, and it's exciting to think about. The question is whether or not he can do it.
Yes. Okay, perfect segue into this. So Travis Hunter officially met the media and all the NFL reporters that all descended on Indianapolis finally got to ask him questions. And I think we've kind of put Travis Hunter conversation on the back burner, number one, because it's not as sexy as talking quarterbacks, but number two, I think we all just kind of assumed, you know what, he's going to pick one side of the ball, probably cornerback, and then maybe have a sub package. But boy, that didn't sound like that's Travis Hunter's plans when he met the media today.
I did some meetings at receiver, did some meetings at DB, so still up in the air. They say nobody has ever done it for real the way I do it, but I tell them that I'm just different. I'm a different person.
He's right about that.
He is. I mean, the success he had on offense and defense in college, you haven't seen it before like that. I guess Charles Woodson did a little bit at Michigan.
Yeah.
You see it more in college just because it's, I don't want to say it's easier, but how many pros are you playing against on any college team unless you're in the SEC? And so you can get away with it in college, but it just doesn't happen in the NFL. I was trying to pick off the top of my head someone that has done it. The only person I could think of that I've seen recently was Jamal Agnew for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And it's not even really that because he was a cornerback who only played special teams because he wasn't a good cornerback.
Yeah.
But he's a heck of an athlete. So the Jags moved him to this slot gadget wide receiver. We actually had some production, but he didn't go both ways.
Right. There's a difference between going full-time both ways. I remember as a Giant fan, some might remember fullback Nikita Whitlock also played some defensive tackle, and he got in there on some pass rushing specialties. And that kind of novelty stuff is cool for a few snaps. But when you're talking about taking a top 10 pick, a top 5 pick, a third overall pick in the Giants case, obviously top 10 in the Jets case, and using it on a player like this, and that's where you heard Travis Hunter say he's met with teams that have wanted to talk to him about wide receiver, met with teams that wanted to talk to him about a corner. Man, are you going all in thinking, how rare is it that I could fill two positions with a stud at both positions with one pick? Or do you kind of pull this thing off and go, man, he's this gung-ho about doing this. I don't know if I want to risk it. And I'll just say this, Tiki, before, I don't know how you feel as a player in doing this. I think Travis Hunter's a good kid. I think he's an absolute unicorn. If and only if his mentality is, I want to be the player that goes both ways, and that's what I want this team to do. Like, he's going to put up a stink. And I don't know that he will, but he clearly wants to. I would be out on Travis Hunter.
Really?
I would be out on Travis Hunter.
Are you kidding?
Here's the way I look at it, man.
Keep going.
I'll just explain this.
Keep going. Then I have a very important question.
Okay.
A very important one, and you better answer it honestly.
I will answer it honestly. To me, I am so scarred in the NFL by players constantly getting hurt, banged up. How many times do we talk about short week games with Thursday night football and how the players hate it and doing all of this?
Yeah.
Now you want to take a player at a premium pick playing two premium positions, wide receiver and corner, and tell me that you assume that this is just not going to enhance between the hits he would take and the other way of more injury. I don't want to have that much relying on a guy to play two positions, and then the moment he gets hurt, I'm screwed on both sides of the ball. To me, I don't think the risk is reward for a player. If Travis Hunter is so set and he's going to basically put up a fight, which maybe he won't, I'm out. I'm out.
All right. Babe Ruth was a myth. The greatest two-way player in the history of baseball, history of sport. He didn't ever really do both. Right. So when it came an issue with this Japanese player by the name of Shohei Ohtani, did anybody really believe that it was possible?
No.
Exactly. And if someone had come to you, Sean Morass, as a Yankee fan, and said, hey, we're going to get you Shohei Ohtani. He wants to and is going to both hit and pitch. Would you have said no?
I believe my answer at the time was I was not interested in playing with the league. This is where I need Evan and his stupid crony to dig up the tweets. Right. And look, in hindsight, you see the way Shohei's been able to pull it. Look at the injuries he's had, pitching-wise.
True.
That's happened.
True, but he had Tommy John, and he just turned into a hitter.
And a DH, but it's also baseball team.
Yeah, you're right.
He's not getting tackled over the middle every time he catches a pass.
No.
This isn't Colorado in the Big 12, where he's going to be running loose.
I was using it as an example that the impossible, because it is impossible what Shohei Ohtani is doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody else has even gotten close to doing it on his level, including Babe Ruth, who did it. He was one of, or either. He wasn't ever doing both at the same time. So when I think about Travis Hunter, why can't Travis Hunter be that unicorn in the NFL? Now, he's not a physical specimen. This is the one thing that would give me a little pause, but not enough for me to say absolutely not. He's slight a little bit, but he's athletic. He didn't take a ton of hits as a wide receiver in college. As a DB, he's physical, but not overly so. Like, he's not running in and slamming his shoulder into guys, trying to tackle him. But there is a mentality that he brings that I think is valuable to any team that he would be on. One, because he's so unique, and two, because all he cares about is being great, right?
Right.
And
you want that mentality. Right,
I've told you this so many times. Like, how do you look in? What does it take to look into a guy's eyes and say, God, he's a really good college player, but I can tell he wants to be great as an NFL player. And if you can see that and identify that, you want that player. To me, Travis Hunter is that player. That's beside all of the hype and the attention, the media glamour that will come his way if he's successful at it. Like, I think there's an enormous upside if he helps you win, and then he's also this iconic type player, like Shohei, but different way, obviously, that the NFL, and especially New York, has never seen.
Yeah, and the marketing for that would be through the roof, but I'm at a point in time, and I don't know where Jet fans would stand on this either, 888-808-1019. From a Giants point of view, though, just speaking from a fan, yeah, the Giants need talented players. Okay, and put the quarterback part aside. If they don't take a quarterback, they need an absolute beast, and Travis Hunter would be that. But, man, the last thing you want and the risk and reward and taking a guy third overall is to take a guy, you need him to be your number one corner, and he's so fixated on being a wide receiver, he misses two games like Malik Nabers did with a concussion. Now I'm missing two players, essentially, in the body. It's like an Indian and Audi from Severance.
Right.
Look, I understand the appeal. I understand the jaw-dropping nature of this. I understand seeing something and appreciating greatness that we've never seen. But to me, man, just get me a damn cornerback, or just get me a damn wide receiver. Now, he wants to play full-time corner in a sub-package. I'm fine with that.
Right.
Full-time both ways, I want that nowhere near the Giants.
Yeah, but think about what that even means. Full-time, like most teams don't have their wide receivers on the field every single play, right? So this, even if he does
only have certain situations where he's playing on offense. I think the right coach with the right plan, like, you're not going to go in and just say, all right, we'll figure this out as we go along. With the right plan, and honestly, this would take some consultation with Deion, as much as I hate to say that, because Deion did it very well for Travis Hunter at Colorado. But you have the right plan for him. I think it helps all sides of your team. Defensively, because he can't, I don't think he's going to be a shutdown type corner, but that's a fallacy in football anymore because nobody really does it that much.
But he clearly can run with wide receivers.
Exactly. He can run and we'll make up space. Hands. And
what
he can
catch.
Right. He can pick the ball off when it's there. But if you have the right plan and you manage it thoughtfully, like, think about it, not just, hey, we got to throw this kid out there on defense. Hey, we're going to throw this kid out there on offense. But say, look, this is what we're going to do. And this package, he's going to do this. And this package, he's going to do that. And let him be full-time in that regard. I think it's valuable if you have a unique athlete like that. And Travis Hunter is. I mean, it's funny because before we got obsessed with the quarterback conversation in New York, the player that I actually wanted was Travis Hunter. Because he's the best player on the board.
Yeah, and I did too, but I was also under the impression, of course he's going to be a cornerback like Charles Woodson was, and maybe we get him a couple plays at wide receiver to have some fun. Just the idea of being full set in a team, maybe a team selling him on that, falling in love with it. You know, acts of desperation, as we've talked about with the Giants. We could get two positions out of this. That scares me. And if I had the choice right now, and if it wasn't going to be quarterback, and you're telling me both quarterbacks are gone, and you're sitting there with Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, man, give me the pass rusher then, instead of fooling around with a guy who wants to play both ways.
Well, I think about the talent that it takes to do what he did at a college level. And then I think about how hard it is in college to do that, and if it translates. And that's the answer I don't have. I have no idea. Because for some kids, some players, college just feels easy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not really a challenge to them, and they can have success even if they're playing quality opponents. But once you get to the NFL, that changes, man. You're playing against superstar players from college every single week at every position. And so I hope it translates, but I do know this. He has a desire to be great. And more than anything, the Giants need players like that. Just the desire to be great. And he's one. And he can be an example. And if he's successful at both, I tell you, it's a story for the ages. It really is. And he could be a superstar in this town.
All right. Now, the other folder that would turn me off. Let's say everything works out for, let's call it 3 years before you have to worry about picking up the option and then maybe do an extension.
Are you worried about how much you got to pay him?
No, well, think about this.
Pay him as a DB, a top DB, a top wide receiver?
Let's
make $60 million a year?
Okay. I have always felt this way. And again, the Giants are live and survive year-to-year mode right now until we establish something,
right.
So I understand that. But we went through a long period in Giant history here where they weren't getting good enough players where they were giving second contracts out, okay? And I believe that when you take a player in the draft, specifically the first round, even more specifically in the top five of a draft, you plan on that player being a cornerstone player for you for a decade, right?
At least.
Okay. So you get 3 years into the Travis Hunter experience and he's cooking, okay? He's clearly earned the money. He is, you know, as you put it, billboards in Times Square.
Right.
He's awesome. Hasn't gotten hurt yet. We have, in my opinion, on every muscle, bone, everything in his body, accelerated in the NFL. You go on both ways, 17 games, all of that. Now I'm in a spot where, is he going to break the bank? It would scare the hell out of me if he is successful in this contract to give him a second contract. And if I'm building a player for the next decade,
you're creating problems for yourself that don't even
exist.
But think
about it. Either I'm getting
the
problems
so
early.
You're so paranoid as a Giant fan that you can't accept the potential of good stuff happening.
Maybe I am. But like, am I going to have to pay him like the top corner and wide receiver combined and break the bank? And then if we're not willing to do that, why did we just draft him to play the
game? Pay me now or it's time to part
like,
ways.
So, I think there's so many things that are fascinating about a guy who could be elite going both ways that to me just turn me off with building an organization. Tommy, you're a Giant fan. How do you stand on this?
I just disagree that he's going to go 50-50. I think it's going to be more 90-10. I think he's going to be a corner. That's his best position 90% of the time, and he'll be more, I don't want to say gimmicky as a wide receiver. But
if you make him gimmicky, Tommy, then then it loses its effectiveness because then everybody knows what he's doing.
But
you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. Like, when he's on the field, they're going to think he's getting the ball.
Absolutely.
But I look at, like, what the Chiefs did. Obviously, Xavier Worthy is head and shoulders better as a wide receiver. He's not a corner. But right. I feel like Hunter can be that kind of guy where you use him near the goal line, big plays. You could hand it off to him. You could throw it to him. The Giants, this is where I disagree with Sean, they need playmakers. And I don't care what the guy's going to make down the line as far as money. They yeah. need guys that could impact. And you could get a player that could impact both sides of the ball. I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I think you figure it out later. Especially if you're not sold. I'm talking for the Giants now. If you're not sold on these two quarterbacks, you are, and especially if you figure it out in free agency with your quarterback, let's just right. assume that that happens. Yeah. You figure it out in free agency, trade for Matt Stafford, or get whoever, Derek Carr, what, it doesn't even matter. Like, you figure out your quarterback to an extent in free agency, and you get to the draft at the end of April, and Cam Ward goes, Shedeur Sanders goes, and you're sitting there at three. The Giants, the best available player on the board, that's who you take, and especially if he's a playmaker. And then you figure out what that playmaking as a Giant's going to look like later. To me, that's why he's so appealing. Even if he, because like, even if he's saying to himself, or saying to us explicitly, I want to play both ways. I am going to go play both ways in the NFL. It doesn't mean he's going to actually force his way to doing that.
That's my fear. I don't think he will.
He's going to be disgruntled, gets drafted 3 overall by the Giants, and they only let him play 20% of the offensive plays. What? He's going to be pissed off. Like, what's he going to do?
Well, what if the team is losing, and he is only playing that percentage of plays, and then it does become an issue? I'm looking to limit the amount of issues on this team. And I'm in love with the playmaking ability. I totally hear you guys out. Just so many, when I weigh the cons of it scare the death out of me. They just do. Now, this is the time of year during the combine where there's a lot of rumors. We as fans, we like to connect the dots. We do the Brian Windhorst. Now, why would they do that? We made a lot out of the Giants hiring Kelly Stafford's brother, Matthew Stafford's brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. The Giants also hired Troy Brown as an offensive assistant. Now, we know Troy for playing. Is this them? The Giants sort of tipping their hand? Troy obviously
Brown was also one of those.
Forgot they made that hire.
One of the more successful guys to be a receiver, be a corner. Right. Is that them sort of thinking, hey, if we do draft Travis, we have Troy Brown now in the building, a guy that could help him not only navigate the waters, that's but also coach him up?
And Troy Brown was a receiver first.
Yeah.
Right.
Right? And then later in his career, he started getting packages as a defensive back.
Right.
I mean, maybe that's the way it goes. He's a full-time wide receiver, and then you need him in sub-packages as a nickel corner.
Oh, we can't have that, though, Tiki.
Why?
If you're taking, you just spent the pick on Malik Nabers last year. You take him the first round, you don't have a number one corner on the team.
I know, but he is a number one corner.
I know, but see, that's the other thing. If it's going to be a 90-10 or an 80-20, 70-30, the majority, he's got to be the number one corner on the team. We have a number one wide receiver.
No, you're right. You're probably right. But still, I mean, at the end of the day, I am intrigued by the potential of a player like this because you simply don't see them, right? And it's one thing not to see them. It's another to have a kid want to do that much, right? Want to be great at both sides. And even if he falls short of it, he's going to be great at something.
Right.
At least that's my view on this. And I think the one thing the Giants have lacked in volume, because they've had it in certain players. They've had it Saquon. They obviously have it with Malik Nabers. To an extent, Tyrone Tracy's this way as well. But they've lacked these big play athletes.
Yes.
These guys who get the ball in their hands and it's like, holy crap, you see that? Or as a DB, man, did you see that coverage interception, whatever, taking it back to the... Like, you don't see that with the Giants.
No.
Every team has somebody like that. The Giants don't have many. Haven't had many.
That's the difference in all those one-score games, Joe Shane.
100%. And so the more of those type players you can put on your team, I think the better. And Travis Hunter has the potential to do it both ways. I know why I was originally all in on him before we got obsessed with the quarterback conversation in New York. It's because he's so dynamic and can do it both ways.
Tiki's all in. I am kind of trending towards all out on Travis Hunter. Where do you stand? Do you want a Shohei Ohtani-type player in New York on the football field, and can it even work out? 888-808-1019. I'm trying to say zero instead of O's today. How about that?
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, technically it is a zero.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, an O is a...
Is a letter.
What is an O? Yeah. O is a letter.
O is a letter.
Yeah, and an O is not on your phone. I like that, Sean.
Zero.
888 888-
808-1019.
Bang. A potential big ticket item for the Giants in free agency is temporarily off the market. The best offensive lineman that would have been available via free agency, Trey Smith, the guard from the Chiefs, has gotten the franchise tag from Kansas City within the last few minutes. So that's an option for the Giants at guard out the window. So cue up the Will Evan Neal move to guard rumors.
I mean, just do it. Yeah, right. Let's just stop with the nonsense and put him at guard. Maybe he gets reinvigorated and finds some fire to be great at guard because he has not been a good tackle at all.
You mark my words. We will get those Evan Neal calls in March once free agency starts if they don't land a guard. 888-808-1019. More on the fact that Jason Dominguez can't field in left field coming up within the hour as well. Pat in Weston, Connecticut starts us on the phones. Pat, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. I was saying to the scan that I really agreed with you, Sean. That you know I love you, Tiki, but I look at Travis Hunter. He's not the number one wide receiver, and he's not the number one quarterback. And we have some good rookies on offensive ready, but none of them are going to be successful until we get a line. And I want to draft that big giant guy out of LSU.
Well, all right. Pat, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. There's a couple things you said there. First of all, I believe Travis Hunter would be the number one wide receiver if he was drafted as a number one wide receiver in the draft. There's some
Will Campbell, by the way. That's who
he's about the offensive lineman.
Yeah, Will Campbell.
There's Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, that might be a better outright corner than Travis Hunter.
Yeah, bigger. He's 6'2", 200 pounds.
But as far as the offensive line stuff goes, okay, and I just mentioned Trey Smith coming off the board. I understand building from the trenches.
I'm not really against that.
Imagine going through what we went through last year.
Oh, man.
And obviously, we all understand what's going on with the quarterback situation, Stafford, so we're trying to eliminate from the process. To not end up with either of the quarterbacks that you scouted heavily, not take Travis Hunter, who, and I know I'm making the case as to why not, not take Abdul Carter, the pass rusher, and walk out of this at third overall with Will Campbell, is that the name?
Yeah, Will Campbell. 6'6", 320. He's massive.
He might be great. Might be an all pro. It would feel very unfulfilling.
It would, but would it be the better way to go? I mean, just to entertain his answer. Because look, everybody who's thinking about the Giants and the draft right now and free agency, they're thinking about quarterback and playmakers.
Yeah.
Right? Because we are deficient at corner. We know that. We've had issues. Maybe some of that is scheme, but whatever it is. I think there's talent there, obviously, but it just hasn't felt like it's come together. So you want to address that in some capacity. As great as Malik Nabers is and Wando Robinson with all the catches that he had last year, they still need more playmakers offensively. But he might be right. Like if you can't open running lanes for the backs, if you can't protect your quarterback, what the heck are you doing with all the talent?
No, I don't disagree. And getting a monster tackle, the Jets are a perfect example. It wasn't sexy last year when they went with Olu Fashanu and didn't get Brock Bowers making all the plays. But guess what? Are the Jets set up for the better now that we know that he's going to be a left tackle? No doubt about it. But here's what I would say. If you're going to sit there at 3 and take Will Campbell, that tells me, and just do the math, both quarterbacks might be gone, meaning in theory the two best players are on the board.
Yep.
Or one of the quarterbacks is up there and you're not going to want to take him, which tells me you will find a trade partner. And if I'm going to take Will Campbell, I would rather, maybe you get Will Campbell, depending on how far you'd have to slide back anyway.
No, I can't argue with what
you're
saying.
And maybe get a first rounder next year that could be used on a quarterback.
No, you're right, because there's so many desirable players. The quarterbacks are one, but then obviously the best on the big board, meaning forget position, the best value is Travis Hunter, followed immediately with Abdul Carter, who has that foot injury that we heard about, stress factor in his foot, debating whether or not he's going to have surgery or not. I've heard many people talking about this. I think, and I agree with him, it's going to have zero effect on his draft status.
Yeah.
It's not like he has a chronic patella injury or something like that. It's a stress fracture that will be fixed, and it will probably never be an issue again. He's still going to get drafted pretty high. But if you're right, as I didn't even think about it from that perspective. If one of the quarterbacks is available and one of the top two players, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, is available, somebody's going to want to come there.
Right. Maybe it's the Raiders. Maybe it's the Jets.
Right. And then you can go get more assets by trading back.
Imagine getting a team's first rounder that might be trading up because they don't have a quarterback, meaning they could be at the top of the draft next year, which gives you two first rounders. And You know, if it's six or seven, like if it's a Jet or Raider type team, Will Campbell might be there anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, I actually think that's, you know, the more we've talked this through, a bad idea at third overall.
Josh in Far Rockaway. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wanted to say that I think the Giants are in such a bad position. It makes you really appreciate how it was when Eli came in with Coughlin. I said the last few months, like, if you're going to keep the GM and the coach, you got to commit to them for 2 years or get rid of them. Like, I'm kind of hoping they go for a stopgap because they're not going to win next year if they draft a QB. They knock themselves out of the top two spot. Get your stopgap, draft a guy in the third round, try to compete this year, and then you won't screw up the next regime inevitably when you don't win. It's like I'm already expecting a losing year this year.
Yeah, and this is where we have the divide from the actual management of the team and the fans, where there's just no way the Giants are going to put them in a position where they don't think that they can be around 500 or above 500 this year.
Think about the NFC North, the NFC East, and the NFC West. Think about those three divisions, and you know that San Francisco is going to be locked and loaded again. I don't know what's going to happen with Matthew Stafford, but man, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a long climb for the Giants to get back into the playoffs.
There's two ways for job preservation in my eyes, and one is to go out, swing the deal for Matthew Stafford, have him come in, play well, they win 9 games or more. And the other is to draft one of these two guys, and it looks like that guy is going to be the quarterback of your future. Those are the two ways.
If Matthew Stafford has a choice and the Rams do want to get rid of him and they do want to trade him, assuming the Raiders and the Giants are willing to part with the same amount of assets in order to acquire him, plus give him, you know, the contract extension that he wants, if it's a choice between Vegas or the Giants, he's going to Vegas. That would be my prediction about what he would be thinking. And due in large part to Tom Brady being a part of this whole thing, and the fact that they have homes up there in Montana, is probably Big Sky by Discovery Land Corporation or something like that. And that is really hard to turn down. That would be really hard to turn down unless his brother-in-law here in New York is pushing hard for that.
Well, it's got to be more than just that. I think their offer has to be better than Vegas. So if the Giants say, we'll give you 3 years guaranteed at $50 million, and the Raiders say, I can't do that, and his brother-in-law's here, and he goes, okay, you know, that's the best offer. I mean, but that's really the only way the Giants, all things equal, the Giants are losing the tiebreaker.
I'll tell you who's watching this closely. That'd be Aaron Rodgers. And the other thing I would be thinking about if I were the Giants, and they don't think this way. I know that. I just have to bring it up just because it will be a potential situation in the near future, whether it be next year at this time or the year after at this time. And that will Arch Manning be coming out of Texas? Now, everybody's assuming that he is going to be like his uncles. There's no reason why you wouldn't believe that, just like you wouldn't believe that Shedeur Sanders could be, you know, exposed, or Patrick Mahomes exposed to professional sports and become a really good player as well. I mean, is there a hope and dream that Arch Manning ends up someday as the quarterback of the Giants?
Well, of course, but I mean, you heard John Mara. He needs to be happier than he was at this time last year, and if he thought that the team was tanking, then he would have fired everybody on the spot right then. Those are the things that he said. So if they're bad again, really bad again, it's going to be a total new regime, and maybe they do draft Arch Manning. But this is why Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going hard after Matthew Stafford. If this were their first year here, they wouldn't have been doing this.
No, of course not. But again, Pete Carroll is doing it in Vegas. It's his first year there.
Yeah,
but he's older.
Right.
And he wants to win now.
And he's won Super Bowl. It's not his first job. It's Brian Daboll and Joe Shane's first head coaching job, first general manager job. Let's go to Tony in Pennsylvania. What's up, Tony?
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
My question is this. Why doesn't the Jets consider Stafford for a quarterback position?
Because I think they just went down that road.
Yeah.
But again, they're also going down the road where I think it's going to be Tyrod Taylor will be their starting quarterback going into the season. Depending on what they do in the draft, maybe they do like Cam Ward, maybe they do like Shedeur Sanders, maybe they'll trade up to get him, or Shedeur Sanders may fall to him.
a lot of people are thinking that Shedeur Sanders is falling right now in the draft, but I would just say be careful with thinking that just simply because teams need starting young quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, if this were the first year of Shane and Daboll in with the Giants, that they wouldn't be going after Matthew Stafford. That's the way I feel about the Jets. And then you add the fact that they just moved heaven and earth to go get Aaron Rodgers, and it didn't work out, and they're still going to have to deal with his cap hit, and then to bring in a guy who's making $50 million a year on top of that, it's damn near impossible.
Yeah, the question for the Jets right now is, what do they do with Davante Adams? Because they're going to have to redo his contract if they want to keep him. I can't imagine that Davante Adams would want to stay here unless Aaron Glenn can convince him to stay here. But, you know, I still think he's got a lot left in the tank. And depending on what happens in free agency and the Bengals and T. Higgins, Davante Adams could have his opportunity to go to Buffalo, go to Cincinnati, could go to Kansas City. I mean, those are the places that I would look if I were, like, this is what Myles Garrett wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no way the Jets are bringing back Davante Adams at $40 million, whatever it is.
They're not going to bring him back, period.
No, I mean, they're
not coming back.
I mean, I know Aaron said it the other day that he's still a part of the team, and maybe they're trying to work out a deal with him. But if I'm Davante Adams, I want to get the hell out of here right now. I'm in my 30s. I want an opportunity to win, and the Jets are not there yet. They may be there in a couple of years, but they're not going to be there this year.
Danny in South Plainfield. What's going on, Danny?
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show. Just a quick question. I'm going to be the first one to admit that I'm not much of a college football guy, but this Shedeur Sanders, would he even be in the news if it wasn't for Deion? It seems like Deion is, you know, keeping his name out there, and all of a sudden he's like a top two or three pick. I mean, is he that good, or is it just the fact that Deion is his father?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit of both, no question.
And I've asked that same exact question, Danny, to Boomer. I said if his last name were Smith instead of Sanders, and his dad worked in finance, would we be talking about this like this way?
Yeah, but, you know, like, we saw a lot of Shedeur Sanders when he got to Colorado because Fox made them their number one team. And there was a lot of national games, and Shedeur played really well. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't play well.
Yeah, I mean, if he would get drafted, but would it be a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, a first-round pick? I mean, there's definitely more hype around him because of his dad and having success with his dad and all of that. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Played a lot of football games. And again, here's the thing about being the son of a dad like Deion is that you've been exposed to all of this. You believe you can make it. And that's a big portion of whether or not, or a big part of whether or not a guy can actually become a starting quarterback in the NFL. You got to believe that you belong there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm telling you, when I sat with Patrick Mahomes and I shook his hand, we talked to him and everything, I could tell immediately. And I bet you if Shedeur came in here and we sat and we interviewed him and talked to him,
mm-hmm.
We would probably come away with, like, you know, this guy is not a dummy. This guy really knows what he's doing.
And yeah, and I said it earlier, I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I think he's going to work his ass off. I think he's smart. I think he's not going to be overwhelmed by any situation. All those things he's prepared for. I just don't know if he's that good. And then watching the highlights of him and watching the highlights of Cam Ward, Cam Ward is the much better player when you're just watching the film on him. I mean, when I watch Cam Ward, I see Steve McNair.
Let's put it this way. If you had one of these two guys in last year's draft, would they be drafted ahead of any of the five guys that went in the first round?
Well, Phil said no.
I say no.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.